Things really seem to be escalating on the COVID-19 front, don't they? I don't even know what wave we're up to at this point, but certainly the state government seems very concerned about the resurgence in these case numbers. The hospital system is under immense pressure. There are some calls in some quarters, particularly the medical fraternity, for a reintroduction of some mandates, particularly around masks, among some other restrictions that they'd like to see brought back in just to cope with this resurgence in COVID-19 cases. To get a different take on it, I guess an angle that I hadn't really heard of before, we're lucky to have a quick chat to Adjunct Professor from RMIT University, Dr. Stephen Alomes. Stephen, a great article that I picked up on just the last couple of days in the New Daily. You're talking here about a vaccine plus strategy that you think perhaps Australia should look at. Tell listeners, Stephen, what you mean by a vaccine plus strategy.
Yeah, look, the funny thing is that, you know, we had all those big campaigns for everyone to get vaccinated, and we did very well with the doubles, but we've only got to about two-thirds with the third, the booster. Mm. And everyone just assumed, oh, vaccine's it. It just, you know, it just closes the door. And, of course, people didn't realise, and the media and the public and the health departments didn't make it clear that in most cases vaccines don't offer 100% protection. We've had some years in which the flu vaccine will only offer about 60% protection. So in other words, it will not stop everyone getting the disease, even though it does reduce transmission. And I call this tendency vaccinophilia, love of vaccines. It's a bit of the opposite to the others. They say, oh, vaccines are rubbish and all the rest, the vaccinophobe people.
Yes.
But look, the guts of it is that you need protection as well as vaccines. And the people who've most developed this idea are the old SAGE group, who's a very large group of several hundred medicos and other social and research professionals. And they've taken it also from around the world. And the World Health Organization says the same thing. You need vaccines and you need protection. Now, we know the shorthand for hospitals, PPE, I think personal protective equipment. And as you know, there was all that early stuff when they didn't recognise the vaccine was transmitted by air, and so you were meant to watch out for droplets from coughs and sneezes, whereas actually it's transmitted by breathing. So it's a matter of protection, and protection means distancing. It means preferably an N95 mask. They're not the blue hospital mask, but the often white or blue, more solid mask.
Yes.
And it means that if you really want to catch the virus, you know, go and join in a choir, go to the gym, go and eat out in a crowded restaurant, because the more people in a close area, the less ventilation and all the rest of it, you know, the danger goes up. And there's evidence of that. So vaccine plus means other protections as well as vaccine.
You cite a great quote in this article saying that, quote, we may be over the pandemic, but it is not finished with us. That seems very pertinent in this day and age, doesn't it, with this resurgence?
Well, it's astonishing. I mean, the resurgence in Europe, I quoted in my article a figure from a week ago for France of 119,000 cases a day. That's on a seven-day average, so
wow.
every day of the seven. And now it's up to 124. Now, France was as low as 20. And, you know, a couple of years ago, there was a summer resurgence in Europe and also in the US, in Florida and other places. People sort of said, oh, we're on top of it now, we'll go and have fun. And they're now having a summer resurgence. Of course, the other time of resurgence is sometimes winter when more people are inside. But and the World Health Organization has said this, there's been a 30% increase in infections in the last few weeks. So look, I think it seems bizarre that we're sitting here now. Is it 2.5 years since it first came along? Let's just say it came along in our autumn of 2020. And we thought, you know, people thought we were over it. And I've been recently to the football, I've been to a couple of music events, I've been to a couple of other events, and I'm the only person wearing a mask. Unfortunately, no one has hassled me, no one has given me dirty looks or said things, but you know, your risk is pretty high if you're the only person wearing a mask in indoor things. Now, up north where you are, as we know, I think when the humidity's up, I think masks are a little bit more uncomfortable. But on the other hand, you've probably got a few more environments where there's outdoor eating or, you know, or open ventilation.
You're right. I mean, as an international city, you know, here so many tourists now, but, you know, those international borders are open again. We know flights are coming in from different parts of the world. You know, no area is immune, that is for sure. Stephen, do you think that Aussies will cop a return to any of these, you know, if any of these mandates are brought back in, the masks being one example?
We're a funny people, you know. We're very compliant at one level, and we're stroppy buggers at another level. We've got a sort of thing that went back to the convict days of don't tell me what to do. But early on, we were compliant, and to me, the solution is a very strong voluntary campaign. Do it to look after your family. Do it to look after your friends. Do it to look after your mates. That's a sort of that sort of campaign should be being pushed out by the federal and state governments, and they should be using, you know, prominent TV, you know, celebrities, sports people, and ordinary everyday people to say it's not a big deal to wear a mask.
That's right. That's right.
And by the way, the N95 mask can actually be reused if you sort of leave them on the line for a day or two. They're not cleaned up by the UV and the atmosphere because the ozone layer gets in the way. But just a couple of days of being exposed to the air, and they could actually be reused. A lot of people say, oh, they're too expensive. So, look, it's... I mean, we thought our life was going to be simple. I mean, I thought I was going to... In 2020, I was about to do an art course in Italy, and I got most of my money back, to my surprise.
Yes.
You know, and I thought I might be going to Japan in May, and now I'd like to go to France and Japan in October. Like everyone, I've got my fingers crossed, but as we know, we still need to be careful. And look, I take all the precautions, but if I was to get it, it really is a lucky dip. You could just simply be unlucky.
That's right. Very interesting. Any response? This article, no doubt, attracted a lot of attention, this vaccine plus strategy that you're talking about here. I mean, what's the response been like? Have you had, you know, any politicians talking about it?
Well, I know a cabinet minister because I was involved in a local road safety issue with him, and I have lobbied him earlier and not got very far, and I'm going to go back to him. But I have, the funny thing is, the people have come back to me and said, look, they like the analysis. Are the leading medical experts, people like Professors Brendan Crabb and Nancy Baxter, who really made continuing public commitment. You know, I see myself as a kind of a bit of a foot soldier among the war correspondents because we've got
yes.
a war.
Yes.
We're now killing, I mean, it's now the, I haven't got the figures in front of me, but in 2020, COVID was not a significant in terms of our overall death toll. The usual culprits, the heart and heart stroke and cancer were up there. But now it's coming up. And the overall death toll from COVID is likely to be greater than that from the two biggest domestic health crises in our history. The one that we remember from 100 years ago, the Spanish influenza. That was actually the Kansas influenza, but it was called Spanish because the Spanish media covered it and all the other media was censored. But that one, and the other one that we've all forgotten, of course, is that when we came from 1788 onwards as settlers and invaders, we brought with us a lot of diseases that killed a lot of Indigenous people who had no prior exposure. But COVID is likely now to be up there with those two as the biggest domestic killer of Australians. And we, you know, early on people thought, oh, well, it's just a few old people and, you know, or a few sick people who are going to die anyway. But most of those people were going to live for another 10 years or... and you've got people in the 80s like Peter Doherty, the Nobel Prize winner, or in the US, you know, Anthony Fauci. A lot of us would say that they are a lot more valuable than some of the young denialists who say, look, it's, you know, it doesn't really exist, or you know, or vaccines cause infection. Now, you'd probably like to know that in the world, we've had over 14 billion doses of vaccine administered. So if there was any substance in the argument that vaccines were a serious problem causing disease, we would have another mini pandemic of some other disease.
That's right. You would know about it.
So clearly, you know, I mean, I think the figure for Australia is something like 58 million doses. Yeah. Vaccines are not perfect, but that doesn't mean that you reject them. Yeah. But it does mean you supplement them with, you know, protection.
And finally, Dr. Stephen Alomes, are you concerned about the pressure on the health system, and will that force politicians to heed some of the advice from some of those experts that you mentioned, certainly those chief health officers already talking about it? Will that force governments to look at...
I think it will. It's the collapsing health system. Mm. See, you basically, our story is one of how we let COVID run because of three elections. So just when, as Omicron came along, the New South Wales government and then the Morrison government said, oh, well, it's got to just live with it. So that was election number one. And now we've got a Vic election in November and a New South Wales election next year. So the Victorian government is unwilling to be heavy. But as I said, I think we have to recognise something's got to be done. I think the best we can do is a damn good campaign. For a voluntary approach for looking after each other, and Australians, I think, will buy that. I mean, they had a whole lot of rugby league players advertising a cruise. Now, I think if you in Queensland, if you've got the Queensland rugby league team,
yes,
saying, look, we're trying to keep it out of the game, and we want to keep it out of your life too. And the best thing we can do is look after each other.
Very well said indeed. Some interesting weeks ahead, that is for sure. Dr. Stephen Alomes from RMIT University, thanks for your time on The King Review today.
Thank you, and fingers crossed for everyone.